Good morning again. Nice to see you. So just in case anyone's antsy, there's no present in this gift bag. It's a giftless gift bag. So I don't want you to sit. I would be going, oh my gosh, is that for me? Is that for me? Am I going to get this? No, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. I just need it for later. Man, I'm so excited. 2 weeks ago, I got to introduce the Faith series, and today I get to introduce the Holy Spirit series. We're starting a brand new one. Welcome to May. It's spring. It's going to be in the 80s this week, and so we had to come in with like a hot topic, so it's the Holy Spirit. So our new series is called Holy Spirit With Us, or as I've been calling it, Holy Spirit Part Duh. Sounds more, you know, maybe arrogant. Anyway, so in our first Holy Spirit series, we spent several weeks studying the person of the Holy Spirit. So we studied who he is, how does he function, how can we be in relationship with him. And in this second part, we're going to dive deeper and study what the Holy Spirit does. So specifically a sampling of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot. This is not going to be a 12-month series. You're just going to get a couple here, but we picked out the good ones. So in Scripture, we're going to be camping out in 1 Corinthians for a while, specifically in chapters 12, 13, and 14. And if you're familiar with the book of Corinthians, you're thinking, okay, some of that makes sense, right? Chapter 12 is, it lists out the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then it gives us this beautiful illustration of the church as a body and explains how we need to know our gifts so that we can have the right function in the body. And we need to work together so that body functions in a healthy, productive way, right? And chapter 14 is another easy one, right? Paul, in his infinite wisdom, says this Holy Spirit stuff is kind of, it's weird, right? It's weird, but it's also God. So there's order to it. And in chapter 14, he lays out rules, guidelines, and guardrails so that we can operate in the Holy Spirit, but still keep our gatherings orderly. But chapter 13, that's the love chapter, right? That's the wedding vows chapter. Even people who give no credence to the Bible can finish the first. If I say love is patient, love is, yeah. People who are like, Jesus was just a dude can say love is patient, love is kind, right? Because if you've been to weddings, you've heard that. So why use a chapter about love to talk about the Holy Spirit? Oh, friends, I'm going to explain it to you. This chapter about love is not it's not only the glue that connects chapters 12 and 14 to 13. It provides us with a foundation of understanding who the Holy Spirit is and how he functions. I'm going to pray really quick. God, we love you so much. I know we come in here and we've got different understandings of who you are, different acceptances of who you are, different beliefs of who you are. God, I pray that you would help us to lay all of that down and to listen to your word today. God, would you speak to us about who the Holy Spirit is, how we can get to know him more, and how we can learn to be in relationship with him. We pray this in your precious son's name. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 and 2. If there's anyone wanting to get married in here, we could do your vows right now. It's up to you guys. Rebecca, anybody? Anybody want to marry Rebecca? No, she did raise her hand. I'm not calling her out. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. In this scripture, Paul actually mentions several gifts of the Holy Spirit: prophecy, speaking in tongues, faith, and wisdom. But he says that without love, we're just static noise. Can you understand the strength of this statement? Paul says you can exhibit a faith that is so strong it can move a mountain, but it means nothing if you're not motivated by love. So can you imagine moving a mountain for someone, okay? But maybe you do it in a spirit of like, oh, fine, I'll move this so you'll stop whining about it. Something I just said this morning to my children, maybe. Can you imagine doing that and having God say, no, you missed the point. That mountain doesn't count. I would be so irritated, which is also not a sign of love. It's cyclical. So the Holy Spirit's motivation is always love. Without love, we cannot, this is so important, people. Without love, we cannot accurately say we're operating in the Holy Spirit. And what does operating in the Holy Spirit mean? It's a churchy phrase. It just means we are obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit in us. But our motives have to be right. This is the wonderful thing about God. He cares about intentions. Not just what we're doing, not just what we're saying, but what we mean in here. If you are accurately repeating his words, but not reflecting his heart, it doesn't count. It's tough. But is this really true? Or am I just up here making up stuff? You know how I do. Is love really so important that God would discount righteous or miraculous action just because we're not operating in love? Well, I brought an expert with me. It's Jesus. And here's what Jesus had to say about this. He says the following in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. This verse is chilling. It is goosebump inducing. But remember, we are called to be ambassadors of Christ, which means what? We are representing him. When we speak, it's the words of Jesus. When we act, it's the actions of Jesus. And this is doubly important with the Holy Spirit because we are often saying words directly from him. We're putting his name on it, taking actions, putting his name on them. And the people observing are going to interpret that as God's. If we don't do the work of knowing God, how can we accurately represent him? Have you guys ever been maybe in a conflict where it's between you, person A, and person B, and person B doesn't want to go to person A, so person B goes to person C and says, what is person A talking about? And person C says, oh, person A, she's just like that. She's just aggressive, right? Now, person A is not aggressive. Person A is really great. Person A just is having a bad day. Person B comes to person A, I can tell you straight from the source what person A meant, right? Because I know me. Listen, when you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you. You can know him. So that when we are telling people, hey, here is what God wants you to hear, we can know that we're speaking intimately. Tracking with me? And this is a serious matter to the Lord. We live in a culture where many are criticizing the church and rejecting God because of words he never said, or because they're said in ways that he did not mean them to be said. And we're asked by those outside of the church, how can you love and serve a God that allows that? But we can see from this verse, from Matthew 7, he is not going to let that slide. We often accuse God of inaction because he's not acting in our timing, or he's not acting immediately. But dude, it's coming. So we've got to be vigilant. Constant vigilance. Goblet of fire, anybody? Thank you. Constantly vigilant against acting in our flesh rather than acting in love. Oh, churchy phrase alert. What does acting in the flesh mean? So I'm going to plagiarize here from Paul. If he didn't want me to copy him, he shouldn't have written the New Testament. So Romans 7 describes operating in the flesh as living according to our sinful passions. It's that impulse to please ourselves and only ourselves and to do what only ourselves wants to do and put ourselves first. And that flesh is at war with our spirit. Our spirit, which wakes up when it hears God's law. It hears the voice of God and it says, that sounds nice. But our flesh is like, you're not taking me, copper. Okay? And so they're constantly at war. Paul has one of the greatest quotes in Romans 7 when he says, what I don't want to do, that's what I do. And what I do want to do, that's what I don't do. That's the flesh and the spirit. So operating in the flesh is just obeying those sinful passions, those selfish impulses that we get. How does this translate then to serving alongside the Holy Spirit? Well, remember Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit while ignoring his heart renders you a clanging cymbal. A clinging cymbal. Anybody married to a drummer in here? Anybody? Anybody? Oh, too old, Jeff! We need to talk. A clinging cymbal. I don't know if you've ever tried relaxing while maybe someone in your home and there's only wood floors and no carpet is practicing drums, but it's impossible. It's impossible. And that's what we sound like when we're not operating in love. In these instances where the Holy Spirit is wanting to say something, he's wanting to give a gift through us. God is desiring to say something to someone. And in his grace and partnership, he's inviting us to deliver that message. But when we're operating in the flesh, we create a bunch of noise that blocks that message. God's message of love cannot be heard over our noise, over that clanging cymbal. So this run of chapters in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14 is about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? The gifts are what he does through us. And sometimes we get hung up and focused there. And listen, we are going to spend the next several weeks talking about different gifts of the Holy Spirit. But that's not the core of the Holy Spirit. Like the verses in Matthew and 1 Corinthians 13:2 say, we must be sure to be motivated by love when we are operating in these gifts or the message of the gifts is hindered. Working alongside the Holy Spirit is a blessing, and it is a blast. It is so super fun. It's probably my favorite thing, period. But we must be aligned with his motivation of love. The gifts are to show love, not to make us look super spiritual. So we must seek the Holy Spirit and to be like him instead of just seeking the gifts. Got it? But being motivated by love, how can we know? How can I know if I really love you? I wrote this song. How can I know if I really care? Thanks, Whitney. How can we just, thank you. Stop, thanks. How, biggest clap I've gotten all time. How can we discern when we're operating in our flesh versus when we're operating in love? Well, there is a perfect scripture, thanks again, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 13 that provides a filter for us to check our intentions. And some of you are maybe already guessing what it is, right? But first, let me tell you something, a little warning for you. This is a scripture that we have to eat French style. What do I mean by France? Well, that's a country. What do I mean by French style eating? In America, restaurants are all about turnover, right? How quickly can the order be taken? How quickly can we get them the food? How quickly can they eat? How quickly can we get them the bill? How quickly can we get them out of there so we can get new customers in and get more money in, right? If you've ever eaten at Chipotle, there is a reason why, one, it's freezing cold. Two, everything's metal. Your butt is stuck to the seat. Three, the music is blaring and it's unpleasant. They want you in and out of there, yo. They want other people to come in and buy burritos. You go. That's American style. It's fine. It's fine. But in France, meals typically take up to 2 to 3 hours. This makes Adam sick to his stomach. He's like, why would you do that? So inefficient. There's typically 7 courses. Do we have this? Oh, look at this. L'apéritif, which is like an appetizer. Hors d'oeuvres, or if you were third grade me reading this in a book for the first time, hors d'oeuvres. Fish, the main course, salad, and then comes cheese, and then dessert. Anybody want to go to France with me? I do. The meal incorporates not just the food, but the atmosphere and the drinks and the company. It's an experience. We're about to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we want to look at that French style, not just in and out memorizing this for our wedding vows or yes, yes, love is patient, yes, it's kind, so am I all the time. We need to meditate on this. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. And I'm going to take my time reading this. Just think about this. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We typically get to this scripture and we eat it like my family eats chips and salsa at a Mexican restaurant. You set that basket down and it is gone. We're double dipping. We're asking for seconds before our drinks have gotten there. Okay, it's gone. Do I need to eat a bag of tortilla chips before my meal gets there? No, but am I going to do it? Yes. And then when I don't finish my meal, I'm still going to eat those chips. Am I enjoying the chips? No. Do I even know that I'm chewing? No. No. But we rush through this scripture the same way. Love is patient, love is kind, love bears all things, blah, blah, blah. We want the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or we're told to in chapter 14, to eagerly desire them. Teach me about prophecy. Teach me about miracles. Teach me about speaking in tongues. But we'll only become that clinging symbol if we do not deeply meditate on this passage. Love is patient and kind, but is Bethany. Love does not insist on its own way. Do I rejoice in the truth, even if that truth is a correction of me? Yes. Or what if it's a contradiction of the way I'm comfortable thinking? Do I still love? The Holy Spirit, can you go back to 1 Corinthians? Yes, oh, love you, Mama Martin. The Holy Spirit is all of these things. This is the character of the Holy Spirit. So if we're aligned with him, this is what we should look like too. We could say, the Holy Spirit is patient. The Holy Spirit is kind. The Holy Spirit does not envy or boast. And I want to ask you while I'm reading that, does this line up with your view of God? Because this is who he is. God is not arrogant or rude. God does not insist on his own way. He asks us to do things, but he doesn't force us into it. God is not irritable or resentful. God does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. God bears all things, believes all things. God hopes all things. God endures all things. So before we study the gifts of Holy Spirit, what Holy Spirit does, we want to make sure that we're aligned with him, that our character is aligned with his idea of love. Let's look at some examples. Love does not insist on its own way. Now, we live in the personality test age. There's Enneagram, there's lions and seals and golden retrievers, and there's colors, and there's DSM, I think that's psychological disorders. But anyway, do you filter how you show love or care through your personality rather than a Christ-like love? Do you refuse to give or receive affection because it's not my thing? Do you insist on your own way of, well, I'm this way, but that's just how I am, instead of reflecting a God-like character? Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Do you feel happy when other people get in trouble? Do you feel that titillation at gossip of, oh, so-and-so got divorced. Oh, I knew it. She's terrible. That was person A. Do you rejoice at wrongdoing? Love rejoices with the truth. Do you rejoice with truth when it requires something from you? Love bears all things. Do you offer help when it costs you? Or do you give excuses of, well, my life is hard too. Well, I'm trying to do this, so no, I can't help you. Love hopes all things. Do you stick with God when he doesn't give you what you want? Do you give up when perseverance is needed? And love endures all things. Do you have a habit of leaving people or places when things get hard? Dude, Instagram counselors and therapists are a way different filter than the Bible. And I was going to say I think, but what I'm doing is observing that we listen to a lot of what this cancel culture stuff, this cut unsafe people out of your life that, oh, don't forgive that person, they hurt you too bad. And we find our way out of conflict and our way out of resolution and our way out of confrontation on Instagram instead of going to the Word and reading that if we're truly walking in love, we endure all things. Regular caveat about don't stay in abusive relationships. And yet, we are to endure all things. See, these verses are way more surgical than they seem. I just recently saw a movie with my friend Tayo. And the resolution of the movie, the way they solved the plot was, it was a mom explaining her unconditional love to her daughter. And it was beautiful. I'm in tears. I'm like trying not to cry because I don't, anyway, that doesn't matter. And I was listening to a podcaster talk about this because that's what I do after I encounter any kind of pop culture is go see what a podcaster has said about it. And she said, ugh, I hate when the answer is love. And I thought, that's because you don't know how powerful love and healing love can be when it is purely shown. When it's real love. And I wonder how many people would abandon their defenses against God if we consistently showed the love that is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But back to the Holy Spirit and the gifts. Why does our character matter so much here? Well, I've got two special guests that are going to help me. They're down here. I know. You guys, this is Rugby. I've had him since second grade. Unconditional love. This is Grogu. No introduction needed. So, I'm going to switch these because I'm going to move him around. So here's how this works. Rugby and Grogu are best friends. They love each other so much. They hang out all the time. They go to Mexican restaurants. They eat way too many chips. They go to dinner parties together May 15th, 5 to 7, Oakley and Hyde Park. They'll be there. They are BFFs. But secretly, Grogu's having a tough time, okay? Grogu's been feeling overwhelmed with life, and he feels like he's disappointed in God. And he's stopped these disciplines that he's in, right? He's not praying like he used to. He's been not coming to church. No shame, Grogu. Things get tough. He's not reading his Bible, and he cancels a lot on Rugby. And he always cancels last minute. And Rugby hates this. And Grogu knows that Rugby hates this. So his BFF is probably not very happy with him, right? So it's been going on for so long that he's pretty sure, Grogu is, pretty sure that God is mad at him for his lack of discipline, right? Shouldn't he be strong enough to handle his life? Well, it's not working. So it's even harder for him to get into healthy habits because now he's afraid to go to God, right? Now, Rugby, this dork doesn't know any of this, right? He's not paying attention. So one day Rugby is praying. He's praying for Grogu. And he feels like the Holy Spirit wants to say to Grogu, I want to help you work on your self-discipline. Now, this is music to Rugby's ears. Hallelujah! Rugby has been super frustrated and angry at Grogu for canceling on him, right? And Rugby would love for Grogu to learn self-discipline so that Rugby doesn't have to deal with it anymore, right? So Rugby goes to Grogu. Hey, buddy. And he says this, Grogu, I have been laboring in prayer for you. And the Holy Spirit wants me to tell you to stop messing around. You're aggravating him. You're aggravating people around you. And it's time to stop acting like a child and be an adult. Now, I know, right? Now look, was the message that Rugby heard from the Holy Spirit a real message? Is this something the Lord would say? Is this something rooted in Scripture? Yes! Self-discipline is listed in Galatians 5 as one of the fruits of the Spirit. This is absolutely something the Lord would want to work on with someone. I'm going to put my puppets down. But when we look at this through the lens of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we can see that Rugby was severely lacking in love. Rugby was not kind, and he was self-seeking. He also didn't know what Grogu was struggling with. So God's message of, I want to help you learn self-discipline, is lost. And Grogu walks away feeling even guiltier and even more distant from God. And this is a funny example, or at least I hope you thought it was. But I wonder how many of us have been hurt by messages from God delivered in unloving ways. This is why it is so important that we know the Holy Spirit, we know his motivations, and we align our motivations with him. So as we close, I want to reiterate a couple things because I can't get away without giving you points in a sermon. Number one, it is so important that we align our character to that of the Holy Spirit, that we are rooted in love in all that we do. Number two, can operating in the gifts be intimidating? Yes. Can it go wrong? Yes. But that's no reason to not try and not learn about them. This is why Dele, for the next 3 weeks, is going to be teaching us what the Bible says about operating in these gifts in a biblical way. So we have our guardrails. We're accurately representing him. Number three, y'all, the Holy Spirit is a third of infinity, which mathematically means he is infinity. He's infinity. He's still infinity. We can't just ignore this part of God because it takes discipline and discernment to know him. It is worth the work to learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And finally, the Holy Spirit wants to speak with you. He wants to enable you to tell his words of love to other people. And I sometimes wonder how many people think God is silent simply because we will not speak up for him when he asks us to. And I'm asking you to be brave and speak up and act in love. So our response time is going to be a little different this week. We're doing it American style. It's to go. We're getting takeout response time, okay? This week, either today or tomorrow, in your prayer time, just pray this simple prayer. Holy Spirit, show me something I can do this week to show someone your love. And then act on it. It doesn't have to be something big and spiritual. It just has to line up with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And if you're listening and you don't hear anything, I say just do something nice for someone. One of the ways I live my life is never deny an impulse to do an act of kindness. It always means something to someone. So pray that prayer and act on whatever he says. In closing, and then Onia, you can come up. Onia's going to come up to do the benediction. If we can all close our eyes for a minute. If anyone had a posture of love when it was hardest, it was Jesus. While he was sacrificing his life, people were taunting him and abandoning him, and he remained patient and kind, and he absolutely bore all things. That love that he showed then is the same love that he has for you now. He remains patient and kind and unirritated with you. So remember the verse we read in 13 Corinthians that God is patient. God is kind. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. And if there are any of you who have felt distant from that kind of love or have never felt that kind of love from God, if you want to raise your hand, I'll pray for you this morning. Jesus, we thank you for your love. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are love. We thank you that you're working on us, that you are quick to love and slow to anger. And I ask that you would speak to each one of us this week. How can we show someone else your love? How can we correct someone's wrong view of you this week by showing them your love? We thank you for this morning. We pray all of these things in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Bethany. There's so much there for us to take away and think about, pray on this week. Would you stand with me as we do the benediction? May we understand who God is through God's love this week. May each of us hear from the Spirit this week. And may we show the same kind of love that reveals who God is to somebody who desperately needs to know it. Go in peace.